Hello, friends. Welcome to Storytime with Janet Keeler. I'm Janet, a former journalist and now a journalism professor at Eckerd College in St. Petersburg. I'm also a lover of children's books, and my collection of them continues to grow, even though my own child is way past storytime age. This is a podcast for grandparents, parents, caregivers, babysitters, and kids of all ages who want to join me in the joyful celebration of reading children's books aloud. I'm really excited to welcome a seasoned children's book reader to the podcast. Brian Shea has been the Saturday reader at the St. Petersburg Barnes & Noble for more than 20 years.
Yeah.
I think maybe he could write his own children's book now. He's read so many of them. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you, Janet. Thank you.
So Brian is also the author's event coordinator at Barnes & Noble, and some of you might know his name from stage performances around the Tampa Bay area, and he's taught acting for Ruth Eckerd and American Stage. And if you don't know him from the store or the stage, you or your kids might have had him in the classroom. He's a substitute teacher for Pinellas County Schools.
Yes.
So pretty much every Saturday at 11 a.m., rain or shine.
That's true.
Maybe more when there's rain. You're
yes.
reading books for kids in the children's section of Barnes & Noble. So I was curious, do you have as schools, you know, letting out, do you have a summer reading program at Barnes & Noble?
We do. We've had a summer reading program for quite some time. But this year, our reading, we're doing something a little bit different with our reading program. So normally, we have this little worksheet where the students, kids, during the summer, they choose eight titles to read from, and then usually in the past is they record the title and the author's name and what they've read, and maybe they write down what their favorite part of the book is.
Very school-like.
Very, very, very school-like. And then they come in,
yeah,
and they hand in their little worksheet, I guess, and they get a free book after they've read eight books for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
This year, we're doing it slightly different. It's a little bit more interactive. So they read the first two books, and then they'll come in to our store, and on their little worksheet of those two, they then decide what is their favorite of the two. They get a little sticker.
Nice.
Plus, they get a little sort of sheet of paper, placard, where they can write in what it is about the book that they liked. And we take that and we put that in our children's department.
Ooh, so they have a shelf recommendation
yes,
from kids. Oh my gosh, I love that.
The kids are going to have this summer, each kid is going to have their own shelf recommendation in the children's department.
Oh, wow.
So it's really,
what a great idea.
It's very interactive. It's very exciting. And so they get the little shelf talker. That's what we call them.
Shelf talker.
Yes.
Okay, I remember that.
And they get a sticker. And then, so it's like a bracket now. So there's the first round and books that they read. And then there's the quarterfinals, so it's every two they come in, and what's their favorite, and then they get a sticker for each one of those, and then there's a semifinal for the two of the four that they liked, and then there's the championship,
what is the
ultimate title of the summer that they like the best.
Mm-hmm.
And each time, they'll get a sticker, they'll get a little shelf talker that they can write their recommendation.
That's exciting.
And we put them in our children's department. And then in June 20th and 21st, we're going to have a party for all the kids that participated. And we're going to have a big wall of all their recommendations.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And all the books that they like.
And so
we're going to display all that. So it's really involved this year.
Right.
And really interactive.
And it starts quickly when school's out.
It's starting now. And
right.
parents can
awesome.
Go. They don't necessarily have to come into the store to get the worksheet.
Right.
They can download it on barnesandnoble.com.
Oh, perfect.
Look for the summer reading program.
Awesome.
They can download it so they can start right away. But we encourage them to come in about four times during the summer
yeah.
so the kids can come in and get their stickers for their worksheets, and the stickers are really colorful and fun and really fun characters.
That's a great program,
so,
and it's like, you know, a March Madness bracket. Everybody
exactly,
loves a bracket, you know,
exactly.
so that's
so
awesome.
So we're merging literature with sports.
There you go.
And so it's
a winning
like,
combination.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you've been reading to kids for quite a long time at Barnes & Noble.
Yes.
On Saturday mornings, I think I mentioned 11 o'clock is story
yes,
time
11 a.m.
Yeah. So how many books do you generally read in that amount of time?
We've discovered, me and my manager for the children's department, Terry DeForest, she's great. We've determined that basically like four books, 20 minutes is like the time frame of their attention span.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's a little bit less. and so we talk about what we're going to choose that week, and she brings me recommendations. She brought me a great recommendation yesterday, a book titled "Don't Trust the Fish." It looked very funny.
It's so intriguing.
It is. And so then we do that, and so we put down a little. We don't have a dedicated stage space like some Barnes & Nobles do. So we put down like this really nice blanket with a chair, and we also have coloring pages and crayons where the kids can sit and color while they listen to me read the book to them. And so, yeah, it's about four books, you know, and we get a variety of different attention spans.
Sure, sure. You know? What ages typically come?
Usually, it's really geared towards between kindergarten and anywhere in elementary school level.
Okay.
So that's what we really aim for. I mean, I've got parents that come in with just their infants, which is fine.
Sure.
You know, they want to introduce them really early to the whole process.
Yeah. So. And sometimes too, when you have a baby, it's just kind of nice to get out.
It's kind of really
sit
nice.
Sit there for 20 minutes
just
and
get out and let, you know, mommy and daddy sit there
while
the baby just sort of looks and.
No, that is nice. So, how do you select the books? Because my gosh, you have so many to choose from.
We do. We have a lot to choose from, and it really is myself and Terry just physically looking at the books and sort of what we got, what draws us to them. Also, if it's seasonal,
right?
Like if it's Mother's Day or Father's Day, or you know. We look for books that have that theme, and so once in a while I'll do a Saturday that's themed around whatever the season is.
Yeah.
And also, you know, we have the company, Barnes & Noble itself, you know, they put out, they'll say, well, this is what our, like, monthly pick children's book is this month, or, you know, these are our recommendations. So we get a lot of different sort of avenues to choose from as far as what books we choose.
Do you find... I mean, I'm assuming that you've been doing this a long time, and you do other things there because you're in charge of the author events there, right? And obviously, and then you're working in the store too. Mm-hmm. So this is something that obviously you like to do.
It's hands down the best part of my day.
Oh, that's nice.
I really enjoy it.
Yeah. And is it fun? Do you find some books like more fun to read than others, or what makes a book fun to read?
Oh, gosh, that's a really good question. If illustration is a real major sort of factor in the funness, if it's really colorful and it pops, and if the story is something that we feel that these kids can be engaged with,
and so
it's those combinations, and you know, also if it's like something that we know that the kids like. Like something that's in like sort of the pop culture type of thing, like Bluey,
something there was maybe a TV show too. Yeah, they know it a little
bit
from
exactly.
that.
Yeah. So if it's something that we've heard that's in the pipeline of what's popular, we pick that. But it's really, you know, illustration and story.
Nice. Really. So I mean, it's nice that you can read four books because then you can mix them up. I mean, you could do a Bluey or something that, you know,
right.
Carmen Sandiego or something that comes from TV that they
Miss
know
Rachel,
or a,
right.
yeah, right. And, but then you can also maybe introduce them to something else.
Absolutely.
So that's kind
of cool.
I really try
my hardest to try to make all the selections each week something that I haven't repeated.
Right.
But sometimes I come back to an old chestnut. You know,
a favorite of yours,
a favorite of mine.
Yeah.
Yes.
What do you, can you think of any offhand that you have read repeatedly?
Yeah. Or? Well, the one I have today.
Okay.
Is,
well, don't spoil it yet.
We always spoil it. That is one that I it's like, if I'm like stuck with, all right, it's like a minute before, you know, I have to do this. I need to find a fourth book. I'm like, I'll pull that book.
Right.
You know.
And have you read them multiple times before you read them for the kids? Or it cold?
No. I have to make sure that I at least have sat down and read it once.
That's the actor's training there.
That is the act. You got to prepare.
Right.
You got to prepare.
Right.
You know, because otherwise you come across it. I'm like, oh, I didn't know the story was going to go in that direction. Okay.
Right. Oh, oops.
Oopsie.
Maybe this isn't that great of a book, or I don't know how to say those words. So how has your training as an actor kind of helped? We talked a little bit about, like, you know, preparing.
Right.
But do you use, you know, different voices, or how do you?
I mean, listen, I don't do, I'm not a man of 1,000 different voices, you know, but I give, what's the intention of, God, I'm going to sound so actory
so
right
professorial
now.
Professorial.
Very professorial.
Theatrical.
I figure out what's the author's intents or the character's
do
arc.
Do it, Brian. You can be theatrical.
The character's arc in the stories.
Yeah.
You know.
Which is an interesting thing to say about a book that has 150 words, but it's
still
there.
It's still there.
Yeah.
It's still like a play.
Right.
You know, and you really, and really emphasis on play, because that helps the kids get drawn in and sitting and really engaged and listening to the story and wanting then to take the book and read it themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the key. We want to be able to introduce the kids to having somebody read to them will make them want to read themselves.
Right.
And
right.
So, because they're eager to have, if the adult, if I am, if they're seeing that I'm having fun doing this,
right,
then they'll go, I want that experience. So then they'll want the book, and, you know, eventually they'll want to be able to read it and put the spin of the characters, you know, different voices if they want. Excuse me.
Well, I love that, and I think you can. I think when you're talking about the age range that you're drawing mostly, so kindergarten and then up through elementary, you're going to have that connection. I've been to some story times, like at the library, when there's a lot of little bitty people, and that's kind of a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're getting up and blowing bubbles and they're doing things because they're just not going to sit through four books probably.
Right.
So it's kind of nice to have that next level up where you're really introducing them.
Yes.
To something. Do you ever have? Do you ever talk to parents? I'm wondering if there's, like, you know, tips they want or they're seeing from you. Are you modeling things that maybe they do at home, or do you ever talk to them about reading?
I just have parents saying thank you for doing this. That's been the sum total of most of the conversations that I have. Or they ask, you know, you do this every week. You know, I think they just really enjoy the respite. Because sometimes if it's a mommy and a daddy come in, you know, the daddy will sit with the child, and then the mom will go and get a cup of coffee.
Right.
You know.
Right.
You know,
that's an interesting way to look at it. It's a nice way to break a little bit, too.
Yeah. I mean, they don't, you know, they don't try to. I've never had someone come and say, I want you to read this book for my child, or I don't want.
No request. We're not taking requests today.
Yeah, I'm sorry. No requests today. This is what we got. It's a free service we have. So,
for sure.
We're not forcing you to sit here.
Yeah. Have you ever had to do, like, you know, like, is there crowd control? You know, I know that, you know, with being a substitute teacher, a lot of that is, like, you know, like classroom management and stuff. Do you feel like it's a different level? I know, because you're mostly in high school when you're subbing, but.
Yeah. When I have, the times when I've had a lot of kids, I've got a lot of them some of them will just stand up and walk around, you know, and that's fine.
Yeah.
It's when a kid comes up and comes right up to me and it's like blocking all the other kids. I'm like, I'm sorry, dear. You know, I have to be able to share this with everyone. Can you maybe? And they go, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. They don't realize.
They don't.
They just want to get up close.
They
and maybe
just want to get up close.
A closer look at the book.
Exactly.
Maybe even hold it.
Yeah. And so they don't know. So I'm like, sorry, dear, can you just move? Because, little Timmy over there, he's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Like, kindness. Yeah. Kindness always works, right?
Share.
I hope share.
Sharing kindness.
Well, so tell me about the book that you brought to read.
Okay. So this is one of my favorites because it just tickles me every time I read it. It's Norman and the Smell of Adventure by Ryan T. Higgins, and it's really a great, really great illustration and really fun story. And shall I go in and read it?
Yeah.
Okay.
What is Norman?
So Norman is a porcupine.
Okay.
Norman's a porcupine.
I thought he looked like a potato.
Yeah, he does look a potato. He probably eats a lot of potatoes, maybe. But he's got his best friend is Mildred, who's a tree. In the story, I should probably mention this before I get into the story. Norman has conversations with Mildred, and it's really one-sided because Mildred's a tree and Mildred doesn't talk. But in Norman's mind, he's having a conversation.
Aww.
So it's very endearing that you have this little fun little porcupine creature. He is a pork. Is he a pork? No.
I think he is.
Yes. have this relationship with this tree.
Yeah.
And then later he talks to another plant and it has a conversation. But again, it's like it's a plant. It's just there. And so it's sort of this one-sided conversation. So it's very fun.
A little bit too like about nature, isn't
it's
it?
About nature,
yeah,
and it's
yeah.
about like Norman wants to go and have an adventure. And that's about him, you know, wanting to, and he wants to have Mildred with him, but Mildred's a tree.
Yeah, she can't go far.
Can't go far, but, you know, Norman's like, come on, what's going on? Let's do this.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I'm ready now.
So here we are.
Awesome.
So here's Norman and the smell of adventure. Okay. Ah, Norman was a porcupine. His best friend was Mildred. Mildred was a tree. They had favorite things they did day after day. But one morning, Norman wanted to try different things. What do you say, Mildred? Let's go do something new. What do you mean you have other plans? Standing here soaking up the sun is what you do every day. It's boring. What? No, I didn't say you are boring. Just the things you do are boring. Excuse me? Oh, there's no need for name-calling. What? I am not shaped like a gumdrop. Oh, fine. I will do different things on my own, and I don't know when I'll be back. Norman was angry. He stuffed some supplies in a pack and stomped off without Mildred. He looked back to see if she was following. She wasn't. Soon, Norman found himself beside a little road he'd never seen before. He looked to the left. The road stretched on. He looked to the right. There was a cactus. Oh, hi there. What's your name? There's a sticker on the cactus's pot that says sale. S-A-L-E. Sally. Oh, that must spell Sally. Hi, Sally. My name is Norman. The cactus was still and quiet. Norman knew this must mean it was very wise. Oh, wise and noble Sally. I got into a fight with my best friend because she does not want to do things I want to do. What do I do? Norman waited. He could tell the cactus was looking deep into his soul, but it remained quiet. And in that quiet, Norman thought very loudly. Oh, you're not going to tell me what I should do, he said. What I should do is tell myself what to do. And what Norman told himself was to find an adventure. Well, thanks, Sally. I'm so glad I ran into you. And so he scurried off as fast as his little legs could carry him. But Norman didn't know much about adventures or how to find them. And he's standing on a small rock. Is my adventure on top of here? He explored deep caves. Is my adventure down here? He scanned the distant horizon. Is my adventure way out there? He rowed up river. He picked through the bramble, and he waded through swamps. At one point, Norman thought he caught the smell of adventure in the air. Sniff, sniff. But it was just the smell of a wet moose. Norman began to worry that finding his adventure would take a long time, and that he might run out of snacks. He needed to get a better view of things. So he climbs and he climbs. He climbed and he climbed. And finally, on top, Norman made it. He stood at a cliff and he looked out onto the forest. He could see for miles. There were trees all around, but none of them were Mildred. Mildred would love this view. He takes out a camera and he takes a picture. Click. Oh, I think I just had an adventure. Norman was ready to go home, so he climbed and he climbed back down, snuck past the wet moose, waded through the swamps, picked through the bramble, and rode downriver. And he made his way back to the little dirt road where he found the cactus waiting. Oh, wise and noble Sally, I did it. I adventured on my own. From the deepest cave to the highest mountain, I have realized two things. First, I have run out of snacks. And second, I miss Mildred. Was it wrong of me to leave her behind, tossed aside like last week's tuna sandwich? The cactus was still and quiet, and Norman knew that it was thinking about the great questions of the universe, and also maybe tuna sandwiches. Good point, Sally. Best friends don't have to do everything together. Oh, you're so wise. He goes to hug the cactus. Ouch! The cactus had many good points. So Norman scurried back home as fast as his little legs could carry him. He found Mildred right where he left her. Oh, I'm so sorry we fought, Mildred. You're my best friend. And he gives Mildred a hug. Here, I brought these for you. He takes out the pictures he took. He shares them with her. The two friends spend the rest of the day soaking up the sun while Norman told Mildred about all his adventures. From then on, they went back doing their favorite things together. And sometimes Norman went off on his own when the smell of adventure was in the air. And the final page, Norman's come back talking to Mildred with flies around him. What do you mean I need a bath? And that's Norman and the smell of adventure.
What a great story. I feel like every day we should start out, no matter what our age, with a nice children's story.
Absolutely.
Right? To get you going and thinking about your stuff. So we don't usually do this, but I'm going to do it today because you bought a book, another book, and I brought another book.
Yes.
And we're not going to read them, but we're going to like make a little recommendation here because there's so many books.
So many books.
Let me tell mine first and then you tell
yours
because yours
first.
Is better
yes,
than mine
do.
Anyway. This is a brand new book by a writer who is British, I believe, yes. Oh, no, actually, she studied decorative arts in Strasbourg, France, where she lives and works, so lucky her.
Nice.
Anyway, her name is Clotilde Perrin, and it's called At the Same Moment Around the World. And it goes through each page, beautifully illustrated, about children that are in different parts of the world, from you know, all over the globe, and what they're doing at that same moment. Someone in Lima, Peru, someone in
Excellent.
The Amazon, someone in Hawaii. And then at the end of the book, it talks about time zones and sort of timekeeping. And then there's an actual little lift for you. There's a world map here that kind of pinpoints where they all are.
Nice.
So beautiful book and interestingly shaped. It's a tall and thin book, which is kind of unusual. But I just found it somehow. I don't know. Sometimes these things come to you and then I get a book. So it's called At the Same Moment Around the World by Clotilde Perrin. So
a nice little
book to check out.
Oh,
and
I'll
it's,
have this.
Chronicle Books, which is out in San Francisco. So
I'll have to try to get that into the store.
It's a nice one. So tell us what your extra book you brought.
So my extra book is my honorable mention, as these books are. After the Fall, How Humpty Dumpty Got Back Up Again by Dan Santat? Santat.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
Santat. That
was so,
right.
So it
Maybe
takes,
it's Santat.
Santat.
Okay, come on.
French. Okay. So it takes the it's Humpty Dumpty. And of course, he's had the fall. But all the king's horses and all the king's men have put Humpty Dumpty back together again, almost. So Humpty Dumpty has, it's this really beautiful story about getting back up,
mm-hmm.
you know, after some, you know, if a tragedy has occurred or some extraordinary event. And it's about the internal healing that, you know, kids need to do and adults need to do. And my gosh, every time I open this book up and get to it, I'm blubbering at the end because it's so moving.
Mm-hmm.
With him, he's walking past the wall and he so has the deep desire to get back up, mm-hmm. but he's so fearful. Mm-hmm. And it's just him trying to get the courage to get back up there. And he wants to be up there in the air, and he's watching the birds, and he makes this bird, like a paper airplane, a paper bird. So he tries to get that to be the way he gets up. And the paper bird that he's made, he flies it, and it gets stuck on top of the wall. And so in order to get that paper bird, he's got to get back up on the wall. And it's such...
Don't start crying.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but it's very... You know, it's if you need encouragement to get back up and start living your life.
Yeah.
I mean, I really, this is great for kids, but it's also really great for adults.
Yeah. So it's After the Fall.
After the Fall.
How Humpty Dumpty Got Back Up Again, Dan Santat, S-A-N-T-A-T.
Yes.
And the book is also a Caldecott Medal winner. So
yes.
It's been vetted by the real smart people that
yes.
tell us the best books. So this has been a great discussion, Brian. I really appreciate you coming.
Thank you for having me. Really
sure. So we've
this.
Had like, you know, we're going from giggles to tears, and
yeah.
you know, because these books, you know, even move us as adults. These
yeah.
stories, because we get to them on a little bit of a different level.
It's really, I have, if I can just say this one thing, I think it's really important. I want to encourage adults, even if you don't have kids,
mm-hmm.
Invest some time into kids' books.
Yeah,
because
I agree.
It's great for your life.
I agree. Oh my gosh! And on that note, my God, that was like really heavy there, Brian.
But sorry.
Beautiful and fantastic. So, until next time, this has been Storytime with Janet Keeler. And go to Barnes and Noble's on Saturday at in St. Pete at 11 a.m.
2501 Tyrone Boulevard.
There you go.
Still there.
They're still there, and they're still open, regardless of what you might have heard. So anyway, thanks for joining me. And until next time, this is Storytime with Janet Keeler.